Chapter 6, Knowing God's Highest Expectation. A late prophet has written, "It is a law of the human soul that most people tend to become like that which they admire most intensely. Deep and long-continued admiration can alter the whole texture of the mind and heart and turn the devotee into something quite other than he was before. For this reason, it is crucially important that we Christians should have right models. It is not enough to say that our model should be Christ. While that is true, it is also true that Christ is known mostly through the lives of his professed followers, and the more prominent and vocal these followers are, the more powerful will be their influence upon the rank and file of Christians. If the models are imperfect, the whole standard of Christian living must suffer as a result. A sacred obligation lies upon each of us to be Christ-like. This generation of Christians must have models it can safely admire. That is not the primary reason for seeking to be holy, but it is a powerful one. Many beginners are taking us for their examples. Later, they will become detached from us and will learn to fix their eyes directly upon the Lord Himself. In the meantime, for better or for worse, we are their idea of what Christ is like. This is a wonderful and a frightening fact that we must face and deal with as we may." A. W. Tozer. It is hardly necessary to emphasize that one cannot reach his destination until he knows where he is going. Similarly, one cannot expect any sense of satisfaction in fulfilling his divine calling if he does not clearly understand what it is. Let us settle one thing right off. We can know, clearly know, our calling. God expects us to know. First, we know that God has already dedicated every created thing in his universe to fulfill some distinct purpose. We look around us at the three lower kingdoms, the mineral, vegetable, and animal, and ask what was God's purpose in creating these. Perhaps the most simple answer is to describe all inanimate creation as a glove in which God will place his hand to reveal and express himself. All is designed as a means by which he may fill the whole universe, give it shape and meaning, purpose and warmth, give it everything. What a glove is to a hand, so creation is to the Creator. Now, if this is the glorious calling for these lower kingdoms, just what is God's high calling for man? It is true that these lower kingdoms must necessarily respond to him for whom they are made. But when we come to the higher kingdom of man, God has a much higher intention for him. By granting man the moral faculties of mind, will, and emotions, man can voluntarily cooperate in this glorious calling. For this reason, man is lifted far above the rest of creation, and through him, there can be a more glorious expression of who and what God really is. It is this very fact that makes it quite inadequate to speak of man as a mere glove. He is a living personality who is called to extol, to magnify, to express the glorious attributes and qualities of the divine personality. While it is true that things without personality hardly seem adequate figures of speech in expressing personality, yet even in his word, God has often used a metaphor to illustrate some special characteristic in a very rich way. Man is pictured as a sheep in the fold, as a branch in the vine, as a living stone in the building. So throughout this writing, we have sought to show how man in full stature is like a building with its foundation and many levels. Since the Apostle Paul often pictured man as a temple or building, Ephesians 2:21 and 22, 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, surely we are on safe ground. As we move along in this unfolding of full stature, we shall see how God is working and how man is cooperating to produce this glorious building, individually and corporately. Now let us see how exactly God has shown us his high expectation in full stature. We've been given not only the pattern, but many patterns as the revelation of God. In considering the diagram, imagine we are looking through a long tunnel back into the very heart of God. What do you see? It is by the light of the Spirit that we may look at the eternal Son, but even more, he becomes the window through which we behold the eternal Father. with what delight we behold the Son, but even more to see Christ in many sons who are being conformed to His image. We can better understand who is calling us. He, the initiator of our glorious calling, has called us to be like Himself. Be ye holy, complete, whole, full, even as I am holy. In the Lord Jesus, we have the visible representation of what the Father expects, for no one has seen the Father except as He has been revealed in the Son. Thus we hear the Father announcing that if anyone would have the pattern for measuring stature, they must measure by the Son. Before the beginning, the Father planned and purposed that in Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. To Him belongs the preeminence and the centrality. This is the brilliant light which broke in upon Martin Luther when he was seeking to know more of the Father. In his biography of him, D'Agni explains how Luther would have wished to penetrate into the secret counsels of God, to unveil His mysteries, to see the invisible and comprehend the incomprehensible. Then we are told that Stupitz checked him. He insisted that Luther should not presume to fathom the hidden God, but confine himself to what He had manifested to us in Jesus Christ. In Him, God has said, "You will find what I am and what I require. Nowhere else, neither in heaven nor in earth, will you discover it." So it is to the Son and the centrality that our attention is fixed, showing us the Father's highest expectation in moving us unto full stature. In the Lord Jesus, we see all we need to know or understand about full stature. Yet we must be sure that we have really seen Him as the Holy Spirit would unveil Him to us. Now, acknowledging the Lord Jesus as the pattern of full stature is sure to enjoy unanimous agreement. Throughout God's Word, there are so many places we are told to be like Him or as Him that we need simply make the statement, He is indeed the pattern, God's highest expression and expectation in full stature. Yet the very fact of using Him as the pattern will serve as a block to some minds. The insistence that He was God manifest in the flesh causes many to falsely imagine that He assumed powers or advantages which are not available to others. For this reason, He is the pattern in only an idealistic sense for the vast majority of Christendom. So they reason, and thus they find excuse for their below-par living. Plead as we might, argue as we will, He is nevertheless considered as someone too high for humanity to seriously accept as the pattern for measuring what they should become, or measuring how far short they might fall. Perhaps for this very reason, God has so often emphasized that He has given Paul as a pattern. We are left without any hiding place, for in Paul we have been given a real demonstration of what can be realized in any man who will allow God. In Paul, we see the adequacy of the Holy Spirit to bring us to that glorious full stature God intends. Even at the risk of being misunderstood, I would like to suggest that while Paul knew he was not the pattern, yet he was sure God had given him as a pattern of what He intended to do in others. For this reason, he dared to say, "Brethren, together follow my example and observe those who live after the pattern we have set you." Philippians 3:17. He seemed to discern the divine insight that God was intending to make a glorious demonstration through him. So he writes to Timothy, "For this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe." 1 Timothy 1:16. Here is a man who indeed was flesh and blood, even as we. He leaves us without excuse. Who can deny that he experienced those very real temptations and pressures which also plague our very tracks? In this hour when it is common to urge others to keep your eyes upon the Lord only, and perhaps in the present low level of vision and stature this is good advice, does it not seem a unique thing for Paul to declare he is a pattern and encourage others to follow in his tracks? "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace be with you." Philippians 4:9. how this boldness reveals us and magnifies the confidence of the apostle. I must admit that for years I have, along with most everyone else, exhorted folk to keep their eyes upon Christ as the only worthy example and pattern. Yet I have come to a new understanding of what Paul meant and the lesson it can be to us. Paul is not glorying in what he is in himself. It was not that Paul was perfect or that he had even reached that ultimate measure of full stature. No, it was only that he could be the glorious expression of the Lord. He knew that the Holy Spirit had revealed the Lord Jesus to him, but even more, had formed Christ within him to such an extent that now he could manifest himself through him. This is the secret of such boldness. What glory this would mean for God, that the Holy Spirit was fully adequate to reveal Christ through any vessel wholly yielded to him. So, in the diagram, we have pictured two things: how we must see Christ reflected in others, and how we must also reveal Christ to others. But we are also patterns. When the mother reprimanded her little son for something he had done, how quickly he replied, "But Daddy does it." No wonder the father wilted. Have you ever considered how differently you act or react when you know others are gazing intently upon you, especially when you have become the apple of their eye or the example they will follow? It is no wonder so many are wanting to turn eyes away from themselves and their short stature. The issue is really this: either we shall be content to fit into the common image and relax in the anonymity it allows, thus avoid becoming any special example, or we shall accept God's call to be his man, daring to be an example, knowing full well that such a position does not need to invite others' attention, for it automatically attracts attention. How the average congregation dislikes anyone who dares to be a full 12-inch ruler so as to uncover their mere 8-inch stature. Every gun is trained upon that individual who dares to deliberately be a pattern for God. But this is exactly what Paul encouraged young Timothy to become. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. 1 Timothy 4:12. He further adds, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Verse 15. Others will surely observe as one grows in wisdom and knowledge. Again, we have a similar word to Titus. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Titus 2, 7, and 8. But Paul is also speaking to each of us. His exhortation confronts us squarely. How much do we desire God to accomplish full stature in us? Are we ready to embrace, as did Paul, the divine purpose, pull, and priority, which will make this a living reality within us? We can see why Paul is God's pattern man. As a man of purpose, he says, "For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more clearly." Philippians 3:10. In Paul, we see a man with divine pull. Not that I have now attained this ideal, or am already made perfect of full stature, but I press to lay hold of, grasp, and make my own that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me and made me his own. Philippians 3:12. He who has seen with Paul will know this divine pull, allowing God to realize through him his glorious purpose. In Paul, we see a man with single priority. But one thing I do, it is my aspiration. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. Philippians 3:13 and 14. Finally, we have the Apostles' yardstick for encouraging everyone to full stature. So let those of us who are spiritually mature and full grown, i.e., of full stature, have this mind and hold these convictions. And if in any respect you have a different attitude of mind, God will make this clear to you also. So speaks the one whom God has set as our pattern man. Brethren, together follow my example and observe those who live after the pattern we have set for you. Philippians 3:17. It is God's desire that we look at Paul and others who are patterns. We see our lovely Lord, and in seeing the Lord Jesus, we see the Father. We have looked through the long tunnel back, way back, to see the Father, the ultimate pattern of what we are called to be like. We have looked through the Son, who is given as the central pattern, but we have seen him in the Apostle Paul and others who are intended as visible patterns revealing Christ. What a glorious demonstration of the adequacy of the Holy Spirit to accomplish this in everyone. So it is not in Paul or in any man that we can glory, but rather in the God who can so apprehend a man for himself that he can fully transform and conform that human vessel into a real measure of full stature, thus expressing himself before mankind.